I understand this was quite an interesting period that followed there. What did you do?
Well,
immediately
once,
after being elected.
Once we knew we were elected, there were nine of us that knew that we had been elected. And there had to be some sort of organization because the court was supposed to start sitting in January. And one of the things we were going to see to it that there was a session of court in each district in January. But this took a little lead time. So I don't know just exactly how it came about, but it was decided that the nine of us would have a meeting and elect a chief judge, and who would in turn tell the state of Michigan how much money we needed to set up three courtrooms and offices for the judges and so forth. So we went to a place over in the Thumb area to get away from the media as much as possible.
Was this a hunting cabin?
It was called the Detroit Hunt and Fish Club, and it happened that John Gillis, who had been elected in the first district, and I think Lewis McGregor, who'd been elected in the second, both belonged to it. And it was nothing but really kind of a fairly primitive hunting cabin where relatively large groups could go. And I think that was the name of it, the Detroit Hunt and Fish Club.
Taos or East Taos or something?
Yes, right around that territory. Mm-hmm. Forget exactly where. So we spent, I think, 2, maybe 3 days there talking about how we would organize the Court of Appeals. Well, one of the first jobs we had to do was choose a chief judge of the court who would have the responsibility of organizing the whole operation, you know, getting the money and signing the leases and setting up the offices and the courtrooms and all that sort of thing. And what it came down to was really, I suppose, the chief contenders for the job were me and T. John, because we'd sort of come out of the operation which created the Court of Appeals in the legislature and still knew many members of the legislature. The breakdown of the Court of Appeals, if you look at it politically, just for the heck of it, was more Republicans than Democrats. And I suppose if we'd cast a ballot on that basis, I probably would have been elected. But there were two things that entered in here. I didn't want the job and have to take on all of this business of signing leases and looking over places for offices and courtrooms and all that sort of thing. I didn't want to do that very bad. And second, I was a great admirer of T. John's managerial abilities and organizational abilities. So I simply said, I'm not interested in this job. And there was no question that the only other logical person for it was T. John Lisinski. And so he was chosen as chief judge. Well, I suppose, just for the heck of it, I was named what they call chief judge pro tem, who could act in the absence of the chief judge. And I kept that job all the time I was on the Court of Appeals. So he went immediately to work, and he, of course, was located in Detroit, which was a little easier for some purposes. Renting courtroom space, offices. The offices for the Lansing Court here were in what was then called the Pruden Building, now the Washington Square Building, exactly where they are today. Same courtroom, exactly. But it was going to be a period of time before it could be remodeled into judges' offices and a courtroom and clerks' offices and so forth. I started out and for about 4 months simply sat or kept office, not office hours, but did my work out of my office in Grand Ledge. Moved some file cases out there. I had a secretary who had been with me in the Senate. She was going to be my secretary on the Court of Appeals, Mary Ann Jones.
Oh, yes.
She commuted out to Grand Ledge, and when I had to go and hear cases, I did. But we did the work in the back room for about 4 months. Then the offices were completed here in Lansing, and moved here and to where the offices are to this very day.